Have you ever gotten a piece of advice that you thought was really great advice, but you just didn't want to take the advice? Shall I shift? Yeah, cool. Yeah, you might have thought, wow, that's really wise, that piece of advice, but I just don't like the thought of actually following through with that. The story that we first watched, the rich young ruler, he got some great advice, bulletproof, straight from the mouth of Jesus, no less. But he walked away sad. And we can be sure that he knew that this was good advice, because surely if he didn't think that was true, then he wouldn't be so upset that he couldn't follow it. The rainbow fish in our other story also got some good advice. He didn't want to follow it. It sounded hard, absurd. He didn't actually even understand how the advice was going to lead to his happy ending. But he gave it a go, however meekly. He was wise, he followed the advice, and he reaped the benefits. And sometimes we can be like the rich ruler and the rainbow fish, seeking for advice, except we don't go to an octopus in a deep cave for our advice, we go to God, hopefully. And sometimes our first initial response can be the same, because they both had the same initial response. They both went, what? No, I can't. But then what? Do we walk away disheartened? Or do we put our trust in our Heavenly Father and step out in faith and give it a go? I read the story of the rich young ruler and I'm struck by the contrast in how this man's encounter with Jesus panned out compared to just about everybody else that I see in scriptures. As you read through the Gospels, which are accounts of Jesus' life from beginning to end, there are story after story of people determined to get in front of Jesus to ask for something, and usually they walk away happy. The blind man sees, the sick woman is healed by touching the cloak, the father's daughter is brought back to life before Jesus even goes to the house, the lepers are healed, the lame man walks, the tax collector is saved, the list goes on. But this man, the rich young ruler, he gets himself in front of Jesus. He gets to talk with him one-on-one. He gets clear, precise advice. Jesus gives him the time of day. They have a conversation. And Jesus says, and follow me. He gives him an invitation to follow him. But he walks away disappointed. Think about this. At the time that this rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus had been doing an amazing ministry. Jesus was like, I mean, he was always great, but he was really at his peak. Jesus had already called the 12 apostles, had trained them up, had sent them out in pairs. To quote scripture, he had given them authority over impure spirits. So they really had no reason to be afraid. They might have been afraid, but they had no reason to be. Jesus had set them up, sent them out. So this young man that comes up to Jesus probably is aware that if you decide to follow Jesus, your life gets changed radically. Your day-to-day work takes on meaning and purpose. And not only that, Jesus was doing really cool stuff everywhere he went. I just flipped through the headings of the scriptures in Mark before we got to the story of the rich young ruler. And here is just a list of the headings of the stories that tell of some of the miracles. So this is what Jesus has been doing. Jesus casts out an evil spirit. Jesus heals many people. Jesus preaches in Galilee. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Crowds follow Jesus. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. Jesus heals in response to faith. Jesus feeds 5,000. Jesus walks on water. Jesus heals a deaf man. Jesus feeds 4,000, Jesus heals a blind man, Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy, and then we get to the story of the rich man. So this guy knew that Jesus was the real deal. And we might look at this and think, what was this guy thinking? He knew that Jesus was capable of all of this. He had pursued Jesus. The scripture says that he ran up to Jesus. So Jesus is about to leave Judea and carry on walking on his travels to Jerusalem. And the scripture says he runs up to Jesus and kneels in front of him. So this is my speculation, but I imagine that this guy had been pursuing Jesus. imagine maybe he'd been in the crowds, maybe he'd heard Jesus speak, and maybe he'd been in the shove trying to get to the front, and he'd seen others have their moments in the front, in front of Jesus, and he was just trying to get there. He sees Jesus. Jesus is leaving town. He's got to run and catch up. So he runs. He plonks himself down in front of Jesus. He's pursuing him. He's determined to get to see this conversation with Jesus. And then he speaks to him and he gets advice. He gets a conversation. He gets an invitation. And then he turns down his advice. What? That's crazy, isn't it? Because, I mean, we'd never do that, would we? How often have I said something along the lines of, man, if only I knew what God wanted, my life would be easy. Leaving school, deciding what to do next. Man, if God would tell me what to do, then it would be easy. Maybe you're trying to buy a house. Oh, if God would just show me the house, then it would be easy. Deciding to have kids or trying to have kids. I wish God would show me the way, then it would be easy. Career choices. Wouldn't it be great if God just told me what to do? If God just came out with clear, precise advice, wouldn't our lives just be easy? Well, the rich young ruler didn't think so. And there have been times when I have not thought so either. But why on earth would you choose to walk away from a conversation with Jesus disappointed? Just take the advice. Simple, right? Easy to know what God wants and easy to carry out are two very different concepts. An instruction from God might make things simple, clear to understand, but not necessarily easy. Scared as you may be, maybe worried about looking crazy, worried about what you might lose, worried just because it's something different, stepping into change, unknown. If you get advice straight from God, don't be like the rich young ruler. Be like the rainbow fish. A few months ago, I heard some pretty precise advice from God. It was near the end of last year. It was on the Sunday that Jeremy was being commissioned to be the senior pastor here at church. And he spoke a sermon on calling. What is God calling you to? And God clearly told me what he was calling me to. He wanted me to apply for the interim ministries assistant role here at church. And if you're a regular here, you already know how that panned out. I am in that role. So I applied, I interviewed, and I've been in that role since the beginning of this year. But here is some background that maybe you don't know. And just, I'm only human, okay? So let me just tell you what I was doing before and how this was all unfolding in my world. The job that I left to take up this role was actually my dream job for a wee while. I really wanted that job for years before I actually got it. And I liked it. The people were great. My boss trusted me. He thought and spoke highly of me. It was also only 9 to 4, 4 days a week. A handful of work commitments on the weekend per year. I was on maternity leave and I had leave until March, whereas this role started on the 10th of January. And have a 5-year-old on school holidays and a baby. And before I went on maternity leave, I had studied project management through that other job. And my plan was, like, I had a plan. I had a short-term plan. I could see my career trajectory. And I was excited about it. So I'll be completely honest with you, church. When God said, apply for that role, my initial response was, oh, okay, I'll do it. Fine. And it's not the first time God's called me to something, so I know by now that there's no point in dragging my feet. That's just not worth my time. I have made a commitment. I will follow where God leads me. So I went home that Sunday, edited my CV and sent it in, much to Jeremy's surprise. And just to be clear, I didn't not understand this calling. I could see it. I liked the look of the role. I could see how my giftings can be used here. I've done youth ministry for years. Children's ministry is new to me, but I love being creative. I love being collaborative and working on a team. So it's not like God called me to it and I went, that makes absolutely no sense. It made sense to me and to Anthony, my husband over there. but it was still unknown and it wasn't my plan. So I was worried about a lot. One of my concerns was that I wouldn't have any time for my family, being in a ministry position. Another was that I'd be too tired to do the job well, having a baby at home. And probably my biggest fear was that it includes getting up here to preach. But God spoke to me. He didn't show me his whole plan for my life, but he showed me that step, and I wasn't going to give it up. I've had a conversation with Anthony over the past months, and it goes something like, man, this is crazy. This is so busy. I could just be working 9 to 4, 4 days a week. That would be easier. And Anthony says, but you said that God called you to this position. And I say, yeah, well, I could have just said no. And I say it in jest because Anthony and I both know that that's just not how we roll. We just, if God tells us something, we don't say no. So, I mean, it's a joke. But it is true. It is true for all of us. When God calls you to something, you can say no. You can take the easy road, but it's not God's plan, and you'll walk away disappointed. And like I said before, why on earth would you choose to walk away from a conversation with Jesus disappointed? Just take the advice. If God gives you a way forward, he has got your back. He has. In the end, that's what I rely on, a huge amount with preaching. It might be stressful, but God wants me here. One day a week with my whole family off, it sounds scary, but it's part of God's plan. I have to preach, but God makes a way. I want to stress that I am grateful. I'm grateful that I followed God's direction and advice, and I'm glad that I've landed in this job, not only because I want to reassure you all that I like it and you should all keep me employed, please, but mostly because God's way is simply always the best plan. Always. Jeremy preached a few weeks back on the story of Jonah. And I'm going to recap that story. Jonah was given clear, precise advice and instruction from God, and he chose in the first instance to disobey. So here's the recap. There's Jonah. That's Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. It was his job to travel around and tell people what God wanted him to say. One day, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh because the people there were doing lots of bad things. But instead, Jonah ran away. He went in the opposite direction to a place called Tarshish on a boat. While he was on this boat, God sent a great storm. And because Jonah knew that he was the one living in disobedience to God and the wrath of God was upon this whole boatload of people because of him, he told the others on board to throw him out so that God would lift the storm and the others would be safe. But Jonah didn't stay stranded at sea. God sent a big fish to swallow him up. And Jonah stayed in the fish's belly for 3 days and nights and prayed to God from inside the fish. So God ordered the fish to spit him out. And then God tells Jonah again, go to Nineveh. And this time he listens. Jonah goes to Nineveh, and instead of encountering harm, he was probably fearing for his life, the people actually listened to Jonah and ended up turning to God. When God gives direction, he has a plan. Just because you don't understand the plan or see the plan or like the plan, that doesn't mean that there is no plan. God will make a way for you to walk in his plan. It's pretty easy to see that Jonah's first reaction was to completely disobey. But what if, you know, you're thinking, well, that's not me. I never completely disobey God. What if God gives you a direction and you think, oh yeah, I could maybe give that a go. But you're still not completely sold. And you're still thinking, oh, it sounds a little hard, or I don't know, I'm stressed out about that idea or scared of that idea, or I'm a bit too complacent and oh, I'll give it a go, but you don't give it your all. You just kind of edge around it. Numbers 20 shows us a story of where Moses half listened to God. Moses is pretty well known for being the leader of the Israelites. He led them out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt, and then to the promised land, to Canaan. But in between those two, They wandered around the desert for 40 years and Moses was in charge. During this time, the Israelites complained a lot. If they were thirsty, hungry, hot, tired, Moses got the complaints. Time and time and time again, the Israelites complain to Moses. Moses goes and petitions with God. Time and time and time again, he's really obedient to God. He does exactly as God says, and God relieves the Israelites of their hunger and thirst and whatnot. But this time, in Numbers 20, verses 7 to 12, Moses only half listens. This is Moses. There he is. The people have complained that they're thirsty. This is nearer the end of the 40 years, so it's been a long time, lots of complaints. One of them even says to Moses, "I wish that we were still slaves in Egypt because you've brought us out into the desert to die." If I were Moses, I'd probably be pretty fed up at this point. And now we read from verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, "Take your staff and your brother Aaron and gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and I will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he was commanded. So far, so good. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. I don't recall God saying that. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." God notices when we leave out details from what he's asking us to do. He notices the attitudes of our heart as we go forward and step into what he's asked us to do. When God gives us clear, precise instruction, there are no loopholes. God knows your heart. He knows what he asks will be challenging to us at times. But you can't shortchange God. Jonah shows us that you can't completely turn and run. Moses shows us that you can't only half do what God has asked and hope that he just won't notice. In Genesis 12, we see another example of God giving instruction with a much different outcome than that of the rich young ruler's story. This is Abram, before he got changed to Abraham. He was Abram. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. It's a very short scripture, but listen to this. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed, as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram encountered a lot of challenges in that short scripture. Go from your country, leave your father's household, your family, go to the land that I will show you, whatever that means. Even with the promises of blessings to come, that's a tall order. But Abram obeys and ultimately was blessed. We can trust that when God is calling us to something, he won't leave us stranded. We will be blessed for our obedience. Now, I wonder if maybe you've gotten a tap on your heart as you've listened to a sermon in the past or a song in the car or as you've prayed. If you've felt God saying something, maybe as a preacher is speaking, you get a clear, precise picture of what this could look like in your life. This is how God often talks to me. I get an idea or a word in my head, and things from God are solid in my mind. I forget a lot, but words from God really stick and stand out. I can't just let it pass by. And along with that, it feels urgent. It feels like I must act. Even if the idea is not something that I particularly want to do, It grows and it is solid, and I feel it's so important. I can't let it pass by. I must do what God is asking. So yeah, sometimes a word from God can be scary, make me worried, uncomfortable. But if it's from God, this is a God that I know to be the real deal, because I've seen him on the move. I've seen him change lives. I've seen him in my life. Just like the rich young ruler had, he knew God was real. He'd seen what Jesus had done. And I'm pursuing God, and I count it a privilege if God says something to me. Just like the rich young ruler, he pursued Jesus. He knelt down and found it a privilege to speak to Jesus. But when God speaks to me, I don't want to be just like the rich young ruler. I want to be like Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So what's God asking of you? Maybe ever since I read the story of the rainbow fish, you already knew God's asking you to do something in your heart. I don't know. Maybe as I've been talking, God's been speaking. How to know if it's God's voice? Just quickly, you can use your GPS. G stands for God. Talk to God directly. You can. Jesus made that possible. Pray. Ask him. P stands for people. Talk to some Christian people who've maybe been on the Christian journey longer than you have. Talk it out with someone. See what they think. Ask for more prayer and advice. And S stands for scripture. Check it out against what the Bible says. God is the same. He will never go against what he has said or done in the Bible. So I'll ask again, what is God asking of you? Maybe you have a specific dilemma, like the rainbow fish or like the rich young ruler. Maybe you've just had a seemingly random idea, like I get sometimes. I think, I don't want to do that. Why am I feeling like I need to do that? Maybe you've just felt prompted, maybe during one of the sermons over the past weeks or months. If you know that there is a word from God there, have courage, have wisdom. This is a mighty and powerful God that is speaking to you, and he loves and cares for you deeply. Also, I'm just thinking, last week Rebecca preached about having grace and not judging others in your community, and it's sort of just, it's reminded me just now that, you know, we're a church family, we're a body of Christ, the body is meant to be in unity, and maybe something that God might be saying has something to do with somebody else in the building. If you feel that you're not right, that you're not together, that you're not functioning as a body, as one, in love with, or out of love, I should say, with people here at church. Maybe that's something that needs sorting out. I don't know, just one of those thoughts that I get. So I'm going to have a song played for us now. It's called I'm Listening by Chris McClarney. Again, it can't be broadcasted over the live stream, so it's called I'm Listening by Chris McClarney. As it plays, I just want us to sit quietly, maybe listen to the words. The words will be up on the screen. And just ask God your questions. Ask him for advice. If you know what that word is already, ask him for courage. Ask him for grace, wisdom to go forward and follow it through. Ask for a next step. Have courage. When God gives you a word, have courage to go forward and step into it. Now, Lord God, thank you for speaking to us. You know, who are we that you would carry out your ultimate plan through us? Thank you, God, for the privilege of carrying out your will. And Lord God, I pray that as you speak, as I trust that you have, that we will have courage and wisdom and grace to go about doing your will. Yeah, we know that you are faithful. We have seen it before. Help us to put our full trust in you, and that our response to your advice, to your instruction, would be, "It is well with my soul. I will go." In Jesus' name, amen.